Hi everyone, this is Andre Tomlin. I'm here with Natasha Devon, who needs no introduction, the writer, campaigner, pundit, who's just given a keynote presentation here at the Mental Health and Education Conference in Manchester. Hi Natasha.
Hello.
How did it feel for you, that talk?
It's a really nice atmosphere here. It's a good mix of people, some people who work in education, some people who work in the sector, but you get the impression that everybody wants to take a really innovative approach, that you know, we're not just going to sit and share stats about how terrible the landscape of mental health is, but actually look at solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of your key points was about language being important in mental health. So language can stigmatize people, it can set people free. You've called your new book A Beginner's Guide to Being Mental.
True.
Why did you choose that title?
For a couple of reasons. One of the key things I think that needs to happen in mental health reporting and discussions is understanding the distinction between mental health and mental illness. You still hear people say one in four people has mental health, and that's just inaccurate and unhelpful. So when I use the word mental in the book, I just mean someone with a brain. You know, in the same way A Beginner's Guide to Being Physical, you would assume that that had something to do with your body and fitness. You know, so that's where I'm coming from with that. I'm trying to redefine the way that the word is used. But I also think that there is power if a word has been used to cast aspersions on you or to silence you, as the word mental very often is. With people who have mental illness, to kind of take it back and go, you know, that was a statement, that title. It was me going, that's our word, and I get to decide how it's used, not the people who, queue up on Twitter to tell me I'm mental because I acknowledge that, you know, being artistic is a form of intelligence and that there's such a thing as transgender people. So.
And you spoke a lot about our lack of language, English language, our lack of vocabulary for things like anger and love. Tell us more about that.
Well, the kind of premise of the book, it all came from noticing that English has a very restricted emotional vocabulary. And that was the reason, I thought, why conversations about mental health very often happen at cross purposes, because what depression means to me might be different from what it means to you. And that was therefore meaning that we weren't able to create connection in the way that needs to happen. I think, in essence, good mental health, good well-being is all about connection, feeling connected. So I thought, you know, looking at other languages, they were doing it much better than us, and I thought I could sit here and see that as a frustration and a problem, or we could see it as an opportunity, because if you then try and get an understanding of how somebody's using the words that they're using, you are creating connection through asking those questions. So the book covers a lot of different things, but at its base, it's always coming back to how can we better understand the conversations that we're having, if you see what I mean.
It really reminds me of Stan Kutcher's work, the teen mental health literacy work in Canada, where he's really clear about this is what illness is. You know, we're not talking about these kind of symptoms beneath depression. We're talking about depressive illness. We're talking about anxiety disorder. And I guess what I've noticed in the kind of general mental health discussion on social media is that we don't have clarity over terms. People don't necessarily talk about. So what do you, somewhere there's a kind of a bit of a disconnect there, because are you suggesting that we are very clear and linked to diagnostic criteria with that?
I don't think that's what I'm saying. I think what I'm saying is that we're not doctors, and we can't diagnose people based on our understanding of what they're saying. So we have to ask open questions in order to understand where that person is at, you know. And I think, yeah, I remember Stan Kutcher saying to me once, actually, there's a difference between having depression and displaying the symptoms of depression. And really only a professional can tell you which is which. But if you're a kind of lay person and you're trying to help the people in your world, you know, distress is distress, grief is grief. You're just there to show genuine interest in that person and improve their self-esteem and, you know, help them to express themselves. And you, in doing so, and this is another thing that I discovered, that I explored in my keynote, in doing so, you actually improve their brain chemistry by controlling their dopamine secretion. So you do good without having to label someone.
You also spoke a lot about gender stereotypes in your talk, which I thought was really interesting. And you kind of highlighted that gender-neutral language is really important in schools. Why is that?
I think because gendered words have a lot of invisible stereotypes and expectations attached to them. And I think actually originally this thinking came from the fact that I went to an all-girls school. And therefore, within the kind of walls of our school, there could be no such thing as girl subjects and boy subjects, or things that girls do and things that boys do, because, you know, we have no boys. So that we had a higher number of people in our year than was average of girls that went on to careers in STEM, for example. And just simple things like if there were chairs that needed stacking up, we did that because we were the only people there to do that. And sometimes I go into co-ed schools and they'll say, oh, I need a big strong boy to help me move this table. And I just think that collectively that over time kind of informs our internal narrative of what men and women should be and what they're capable of. And so that's why I think, you know, obviously when you're dealing with someone one-on-one, gender neutral language isn't possible. But in terms of groups, I think it's nice to keep it as neutral as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really interesting. We could talk for ages, I'm sure, but you need to get off. So thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank you for having me.